You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Happy March, ladies and gentlemen. It is spring. The clocks have moved forward, and that means
lots of bitching.
Lots of what?
Bitching.
Okay.
About the clocks moving forward.
Oh my gosh,
I get so sick and tired of hearing about it.
I was going to say a positive thing, that it's springtime, baby, and that means it's drone season. So,
way to stay positive. I ruined it.
So I hope this spring, I hope that you've been working on your business. For everyone who's been in the coaching calls, by the way, last coaching call we talked about someone who made a brochure for their business, and we talked about authenticity and how that communicates in photos. And I'm really excited because this month, I think I'm going down the rabbit hole on understanding methodologies for building up your organic presence on your website. So anyway, long story short is we got a great show today talking about understanding if you are augmenting your previous experience or your previous career with drone stuff, like you're augmenting your old career to do drone stuff. What is the best ethical means of utilizing your contacts to build up your network and grow your drone business? We're going to play the question here in a second, but it's really important to know that some of the most successful people that we have seen are one of two people. Person number one is someone augmenting an existing business or something that they were doing in the past, right? So you're using drones to now solve problems with a network that you were already into. Number two is the stalwart. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this work. And they're a contractor. They're independent. And they make it work no matter what. So as always, my name is Paul.
My name's Rob. Grateful to be here with you.
And we have a great show today regarding how to augment your existing business with drones, which is our question today. Before we get to that question, as always, we have a great sponsor for today regarding the experience training in May. One seat left. For this week's sponsor, it's actually the Drone You Experience Training. Now, this is a very interesting ad because in all honesty, we have done this experience training with enterprise clients, and an enterprise client bought literally every single ticket but two. So this May of 2024, we are doing another construction-themed experience training. This means that you get to come to colorful Colorado where beauty is around every corner, and you get to capture that with your drones, but you also get to learn the workflow of mapping and modeling construction sites, flying CineWhoop and doing drone tours through construction sites, and understanding how to create orthomosaics and other mapping deliverables that are going to be necessary for you to fly construction sites. Now, the benefit is these seats that are open, you are literally going to be next to a group of drone pilots that work for a very large Fortune 500 construction company. You're going to get to sit next to the horse's mouth as you learn all these things and drive relationships. Now, on top of that, the experience training covers your lodging, your food, and your boarding. You're going to get some very special food, too, from the newest of catering companies in Colorado called Bald Incorporated. He makes really good carne asada, anything, and does really good at barbecue, too.
We might do some enchiladas.
Enchiladas por vida. Actually, those were some of the best enchiladas I've ever had.
I put my heart and soul into those enchiladas.
So if you want to join us for a seven-day-long training that's also gamified, where you have to compete to build those deliverables before you leave that week, then you do not want to miss this opportunity. Now, because this training is pretty much sold out minus one, maybe two tickets, we're not putting a website together. We're not having a sales page to go over all the benefits of this training. I've told it all to you right now. You're going to learn photo editing, video editing, orthomosaic construction, 3D modeling, flying CineWhoops inside. You're going to learn how to do and create a video, marketing photos, and orthomosaic maps for all the deliverables that you would need for construction. If you want to join us for this 7-day experience training, again, only one, maybe two seats open, you've got to email Rob direct. There is no URL. rob@thedroneu.com. In the subject line, say, I want that last ticket to the experience training. Now, that said, the experience trainings have gone over so well that most of our enterprise clients do them now. If you want to learn why they're so effective, then join us. We'll see you there.
What's up, guys? So I'll keep this brief because I want to respect you guys' time, but I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I just finished reading the 5 steps to creating a drone business guide. And in there, you guys had mentioned how if you have prior business knowledge, knowing like, you know, construction or insurance or something like that. So I'm trying to start up a drone business here. And I have previous job knowledge of being an insurance agent. I've sold property and casualty insurance for the last 5 years. And so I know the adjusters to the companies and such. I was just trying to get some feedback on how I should go about starting up, getting involved with those companies, or who I should be reaching out to, who I should be asking for. Just, you know, trying to get things started up for me. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Cameron. We really appreciate you and the fact that you take the time to read the guide. And hopefully it's very helpful for you and to listen to this show. And really importantly, to take the time to send a question in, because hopefully it can bring value to a lot of people. But yeah, no, he asked a great question. And I love that the question is a derivative of the guide, meaning you got the information, you're thinking it through, and then let's dig into, well, what does this actually mean and how do we take this to the world practically? Because that's when it matters.
It does, 100%.
So in this particular case, he's saying, okay, yes, I have prior experience. Like you said, that's a good thing. It's one of the top 5 that you put in the guide. How does that experience help me? I was a property and casualty sales guy, and so he knows the insurance business clearly. Worked with adjusters, et cetera. And so there's like, some experience and knowledge there.
And not life insurance or health insurance. It's pretty clear that he's talking about like auto insurance.
Correct.
Or homeowners.
Property and casualty.
Exactly.
That's right.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry for the specific terms.
No, you're good. No, you're good. I'm just, yeah, making sure that we're all talking about the same thing.
My point, though, is that there are drone-related use cases in property and casualty.
Absolutely.
I saw recently that a representative went to an FCC hearing arguing that DJI should not be allowed to fly drones in the United States because DJI drones can read your heart rate and showcase that back to China. And just to clarify, there are no drones used in healthcare insurance adjustments. I just want to make that really clear for our senators and congressmen that listen to the show, because they do. So I know it's kind of funny to all of you drone pilots out there, but yes, that is actually a very real misconception. So when it comes to, you know, utilizing your existing contacts, Rob, let's let you take the reins on this, because you've got a great track record of leading people into very eloquent and succinctful ways of communicating.
I like that word, succinctful.
It's succinctful. I'm politicking.
That's funny, the turn succinct into succinctful.
Hey, you know what?
The irony is in a single word. That's fun. Anyway.
Look, if Merriam-Webster's dictionary is going to say that drip means clothing, succinctful's fine.
No, I love succinctful. Start using it. So the way that I look at this in terms of how can Cameron benefit from this previous experience knowledge, it's about a couple of things. From my perspective, and it's about a lot more that I'm sure Paul will add. But one is, you know people, right? So anytime you start a business, one of the first things, like if you were to have a coach or something, and this happens a lot in sales, for example, one of the first things people tell you to do is determine what your circle is. And then they might say a couple of circles. So your like close friends and family would be kind of your smaller circle. And then you expand to business associates that you believe know, like, and trust you, right? And so because you have experience in the industry, you already have sort of a warm connection, if you will, to people that are also in the industry. And so that's number one, is that you have contacts. So I know that seems oversimplified, but that's really important. And then I think number two is, you know a lot of the language. So one of the things you're trying to do as a business owner, as a drone pilot specifically, is you're trying to bring value to these folks. Well, what is going to be valuable to them? Having been in the industry, I would assume that you know what would bring value to them. Example, and this is an obvious one, an adjuster having to get up on the roof. Maybe you can help them not have to get up on the roof. And maybe you say that you're willing to go fly all of the roofs, get them the photos, et cetera, as quickly as you can, which is basically on the job site nowadays. They don't even have to go out there. So you can partner with them. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how that's actually operating currently in that environment, but I would imagine there's some opportunity there, especially if you know some adjusters in your area or otherwise that might be willing to work with you on that. So that's just a couple of ways. Use what you know, what you understand about the industry, what you understand about how drones can bring value, and share it with the people that you know in that industry.
Well, and I think he's probably wondering too, like, how do I share it with the people that I know in the industry, right?
It's a good question.
And I think that there are kind of like a couple of different ways to go about it. You know, you could invite adjusters that you know out to lunch and say, you know, hey, I'm really looking for your help and I want to do this and I want to do that. You know, another way to do it, because those adjusters might be hard to knock down and actually have lunch at a planned time because they're out in the field so much.
Yeah.
So another way to do it might be, you know what, I'm going to write a really well-crafted email to all the people that I know and send it, you know, one at a time. So it's not like a mass email. So you don't give that like kind of like inauthentic sense. But the subject line should be, you might punch me for asking this, right? And just set the bar real low, like real
that's
low.
True. That's fun.
Because it's also going to get them to open up the email. And then start with, look, I'm looking for your help. You know, hey, it's Cameron and we've worked together with these insurance companies for the last 5 years. And I'm moving into drone stuff because I want to get away from being behind a screen all the time. And look, I'm really looking for your help. I know that drones can solve this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. In fact, I've seen it with myself. So what I'm asking from you is, are you the right contact, or can you help me find the right contact to get in with you guys to help with the adjustment phase of insurance findings? I really believe that we can do this faster. I believe that we can do this better. And I'm looking for your help to essentially help all of us do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
My point is, set the bar really low. Enter a subject that someone is going to read, right? Maybe you even say, I gave up on the insurance industry because, and that's like your subject line. And then you tell them why, and then you give them, I need your help, right?
Paul, the subject line writer.
No, hey, this stuff works,
it
man.
Does. No, it's very important. It's true.
It works. It's true. I think just don't do this, because this has become the new gimmick and a lot of people now sort their email on this. But two things to not do. Number one is, do not write the subject of the email as re, meaning that you're responding. Have you noticed how many marketing emails you get nowadays where it says re and you never emailed them? I hate that, because you're lying to me. How can I trust you ever if you're lying to me in the first sentence of communication? Why would I ever work with you? Okay, that's number one.
Well, it's usually some hacker at this point trying
to. Yes. Number two, never do this. And what I'm saying is, never write the word unsubscribe in an email. The reason is, and we need to do this for us too, even if we add a dash for un-subscribe. I did this in my own email and it works flawlessly. Like literally, you can even see the delta in emails that I get between accounts, because this has the filter and this doesn't. But I filter in my email that any email that comes through that has the word unsubscribe in it, automatically send it to spam. And so I don't get a lot of emails now, and it's glorious because I hate email. I really can't stand email. The book on over-communication was so perfect regarding email. Voice to text, I think, is the best thing ever, but that's me. When you pair voice to text with project management software, you're right, Rob. I know, I saw that coming. Anyway, so I bring this all up because I think it's really important that no matter how you communicate, where it's a personal lunch, where you're trying to say, hey, I'm moving into this field. These are the problems that I see all of us having. This is how I want to solve them. Can you help me do it? The one thing that I worry about, Rob, is do you think by reaching out to other adjusters and saying, hey, I think there's a better way to do this job, do you think he's going to get a lot of negative pushback?
Well, I think you're always going to have the people in the industry that like the way that it's done. They're comfortable with the way that it's done. They're comfortable with their income. But anytime that there's a disruptor, I don't think you can really worry about that. So you know, I was
maybe they need to have a really good calibrated question then for the person's like, well, why would I help you take over what I'm doing for this company and do it more efficiently, blah, blah, blah. And that's when you say, oh, well, how can you expect to not be willing to change and evolve and adapt? Aren't you afraid that if you didn't evolve and adapt that over time that you'd just be like cycled out anyway?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fine line between confrontational and trying to help them and make it a mutually beneficial arrangement. But I would imagine you're going to run into that. I think the drone space has brought that feeling, that friction about in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And ultimately you got to push through and find the right people because they're out there. One of the other things that comes to mind, and you didn't say where your background was. We know it was property casualty. You did mention that, but we don't know if it was, say, for example, one of the primaries like an Allstate and even Allstate now, I think this could apply to, maybe not quite as much, or if it was a brokerage. So back in the day when we had our mortgage company, we also had an insurance agency. And the insurance agency was a brokerage. So we, of course, had relationships with all the major insurers. And my point is, those are a lot of great contacts if you have them. And like Paul said, I think if you've got relationships with those folks, those that we worked with, generally speaking, they were just another group of nice people, right? And even if it's just a conversation to ask them, maybe what are they hearing? The point is, talk to people. It's one of the things that came up. It was really interesting. I was telling Paul, if you guys haven't seen the series The Diplomat on Netflix, and in the last episode, the former diplomat, the husband of the wife who's now in the position, who the show's primarily about, he gives a speech, and what he's saying is that we would tend to, in this position, like avoid talking to the bad people, to the terrorists, to all the, and you could see why, right? But then he says, and he gets like real passionate about it. He's like, talk to everybody. And he tells the story as to why, because you never know what's going to come out of one of those conversations. And honestly, it's just a TV show, but there were some really good points that I took to heart. And I don't know. Who do you know? Talk to him. Just start having conversations with people, because you have an advantage within that industry that 95 plus of your competitors do not have.
And that could be as simple as speaking the right language and knowing the right words and the vernacular.
Or knowing where these people hang out. And I don't mean like in a weird, spooky way or creepy way, but I'm talking about like seminars or the local groups, or because we talk about that a lot, right?
I know that you go to Topgolf on Tuesday evenings.
And you're just there sitting there.
Well, hey, nice. Man, I got this new 9-iron. You want to try it?
Good shot.
Gosh, you hit those balls well.
Oh, geez. You had to go there. But yeah, so take advantage of those connections, those opportunities. And for example, we talk a lot about going to these different events where these folks come together. You will know people there. Others will probably not even want to go because they don't know people there. Take advantage of that. So, I mean, there's no magic formula. You still, and I'm not saying that you're saying you're looking for a magic formula, but just to be real clear, you still got to get out there, pound the street, do the work, talk to the people, fly, create your reel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
100%. And the one thing that I hear like a macro theme coming out of your recommendations and advice, Rob, is that the effort that you put in is the effort that you will get out. And I think a lot of people give up easily and they'll do like cold calls or they'll do cold emails or they'll reach out to people and like four or five get back to them and they're like, no. Okay, well, maybe it's a full moon. Everyone's having a bad day. Okay. Keep going. You know why? Because literally most of the people that you know are going to quit and give up at that point because they're like, oh no, maybe this isn't right. Maybe this wasn't ordained. You know what? It's going to be ordained for the people who work for it. The people who go out and beat the streets. You ever heard that term?
Yeah. And it's a cliche, particularly in sports, but right, we wanted it more. And so it really comes down to, speaking to what you just said, how bad do you want it? And forgive me for using a cliche, but if you really want to do this and you really want it bad enough and you have an opportunity like this industry that you're connected to, do it until it works.
And to your point, how bad do you want it? The reason that how bad do you want it works is because it's the people who are at practice thinking about their why. How bad do I want it? So they work extra hard in practice. And the next day when they're ready to give up, how bad do I want it? Why am I doing this? And then even on the day that they're feeling weak, they're at 70%, they still give it 100. And then the next day when they still feel weak, how bad do I want it? And they think about their why and yeah, they continue to beat the streets. It's the constant capacity to give it your all that's going to drive the value that you're going to get out of it anyway.
100%. And this is something that you can appreciate very, very dearly. And that is, I just saw an article. I haven't read it yet. I'll share it with you. But it's somebody that says, I posted a reel every day for a year and these were the results. So a little bit of a clickbait title. But the point is, how many people would do that? I know you would.
I did that exactly last year.
I know
year,
you did. I know.
And we got 194,000 likes on one reel. Anyway.
Yeah, so no, it works. But the point is, do you think that after whatever, 30 days, maybe even 90 days, maybe even 180 days, that person was getting results that were like, maybe, but it probably hit a point, an inflection point, like the hockey stick thing, right? That happens in so many different elements of what we all do. My guess is that the type of person that was willing to do this for an entire year, probably still doing it, that wasn't the point of the article, but that was willing to do it for an entire year, probably pushed through at various points along the way when it felt like it wasn't worth it. And that's what it's going to take, I believe. We've been doing this, what, almost 11 years now, 10, 11 years. Can we both say there have been times when we were like, what the hell are we doing?
Extended periods of time.
So we feel you. And believe it or not, it happens more than you think for reasons you couldn't imagine.
As my dad used to say, let's be honest. At the point that everyone is going to quit and give up, they're going to quit and give up. It's the people who make a mental decision to not quit and give up that end up being successful. Now, there is a point, you can't be delusional, okay? But there is a point where one of the top seven traits of the most successful entrepreneurs, unrealistic optimism.
Yeah.
So yeah, on that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Ask Drone U. Please put your questions at askdroneu.com. We're going to be doing a big series talking about drone programs and what we've learned training some of the most successful drone programs in the country. If you didn't read the PR recently about the New York Power Authority and what we did with them, thanks to our work from PJ, really, here in the company, we're going to be talking a lot about drone programs because we see a lot of drone pilots, too, who have this maturing stage where, you know, they become a drone pilot and then they manage other drone pilots and then they become a drone pilot program manager. You know, there's really a lot of different stuff that goes into this that is so critical and so important. And this could be your kind of life cycle and journey as well too. So something to consider if you have questions regarding drone programs, throw them in, please, askdroneu.com.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.